Sayam Kundra Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavanam Ki Jai, Mathuradam Ki Jai, Navadeepdam Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Yamudamai Ki Jai, Srimati Lassi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bol. So, I'm going to read the poem that we just read. O Venerable Vaishnava, O Vaishnava Goswami, please be merciful to me now. There is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls. Where does anyone find such a merciful personality by whose mere audience all sins go far away? After bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganges many times, one becomes purified. But just by the sight of you, fallen souls are purified. This is your great power. The holy name delivers one who has committed an offense to Lord Hari. But if one commits an offense to you, there is no means of deliverance. Your heart is always the resting place of Lord Govinda, and Lord Govinda says, the Vaishnavas are in my heart. I desire the dust of your holy feet in every birth I may take. Please consider Narottama yours and be kind upon him. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, what I thought we'd do this morning is we'd read at least some of the verses in my favorite poem, which is Prabhupada's Vrindavan Bhajan. And this is quite a lengthy poem. It has 27 verses to it. Very few devotees have read this poem before. And I don't think we'll get through the poem this morning, but you'll get a taste of what Srila Prabhupada was facing when he left his home. This poem was written just after Srila Prabhupada left his comfortable home, took Vanaprastha, and went to Vrindavan to live. And it gives Prabhupada an indication of Prabhupada's determination to serve his spiritual master, the process of becoming Krishna conscious in this Kali Yuga, which is Krishna Nam Sankirtan, rather than something Prabhupada called and people call Nirjana Bhajan. And then ultimately, Prabhupada's whole mission to change the face of the world. So everything is contained within this one poem. It's quite a heavy poem. One time I was reading it in Vrindavan, and the devotees asked me to stop because they thought it wasn't politically correct to read it because it might offend some people. But here it's not going to offend anyone. I don't think we have any Babaji's in the room, do we? No. I think everybody here is pretty much, you know, ready to preach Krishna consciousness, worship the deities, and serve Prabhupada's mission. So we're going to start this, and then I'll speak a little bit as we go through it. So, Om Ganat Timananda Shagananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is right before Prabhupada took sannyas. So, it is entitled Vrindavan Bhajan, or Doing Bhajan in Vrindavan. So, remember, the scenario is. Please turn off your mobile phones. So the scenario is that Prabhupada, just take it out of the room somehow or other, or smash it. The scenario is that Srila Prabhupada had just left his home after his wife had told him, after Prabhupada asked the question, what do you want, tea or me? And she said, I'd rather have tea. So Prabhupada had endured many years of opposition to his preaching mission on the part of his wife. His wife was a devotee. His wife was actually a devotee, but Prabhupada said, she's not our type of devotee. She had little Radha Krishna deities at home and she was worshipping them. But every time that Prabhupada tried to bring guests to the home, she would harass the guests. She would take a feather duster, that's an old-time vacuum cleaner, in case you don't know what that is. You know, it's a feather thing, anyway, whatever. She would take it and blow dust in people's faces. You know, Prabhupada would be trying to explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. You know, that we have Lord Chaitanya's mission, we have to surrender. And she would go, boom, boom. And the poor guest would be going, And so Prabhupada got really upset and took this as a message from Krishna. And actually, Prabhupada's father had arranged this whole scenario for Prabhupada. He arranged that Prabhupada married someone that was not so agreeable. Because Prabhupada, many years before then, had wanted to marry another lady, because you could have two wives at that time, two or three or four. And his father said, no, the wife you have now is the best wife for you, because she will help you in your mission. And Prabhupada was always meditating from the time he met his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was always meditating on fulfilling the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which was to preach in the West. And that was the first order Prabhupada got, and the last order Prabhupada got from his spiritual master. In a letter that came to Prabhupada a fortnight before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world. So here, the scenario in Vrindavan, Prabhupada is completely alone. There's no assistant, no servant, no disciple. Basically, he's just rented a room in the Vamsi Gopalji temple. This is before the Radha Damodara temple. The Vamsi Gopalji temple is just a temple on the alleyway. I've been there in Vrindavan, and it's practically right next to the Jamuna. And so Prabhupada would go out every morning for his bath and do whatever, you know, to cleanse himself in the morning. So Prabhupada was sitting there with nothing except for Krishna and the spiritual master's order. And so here Prabhupada starts this poem. I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything, but I have no money, so they are fruitless glory. And Prabhupada explains why in the next stanza. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. And then Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Bhagavatam. Yashaham anagrinami harishe tad dhanam shanai. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the all-merciful? And then verse 2. Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. In other words, that laugh is different than the normal humor. It's just like, wow, this is the nature of this material world. Wow. That everyone was interested in me, Prabhupada is saying, because I had money. And as soon as there's no money, no interest. So this is, you know, Prabhupada is learning. Well, of course, he's an eternally liberated soul, and he's taking our position much in the same way as Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes the position of a conditioned soul to show us how to become Krishna conscious. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his poem Gopinath prays, O Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal, always full of lust. And of course, he's not like that. Please take this sinner weeping and weeping to your lotus feet. So Prabhupada is here doing what every great acharya does, is giving us an example that we can follow. And we were speaking about this, actually I was speaking this a few days ago. that generally people think that the acharya is simply freeing them from their sins. Like, let's take the Christian church, for example. They look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and they think, well, now I am freed of my sins because he died for my sins. Isn't that a typical thing? In this, in fancy English, that is called vicarious atonement. I mean, that's a fancy word I don't think many of you know. Vicarious means you have someone else do it for you. That is, of course, vicarious enjoyment when you watch a Bollywood film and you enjoy some loving exchange by watching the Bollywood film or watching a soccer match. So vicarious atonement means that you think someone else is going to atone for your sins. That's crazy, isn't it? Like if I say, Sadashiva, do some austerities. I did something wrong, so you please do some austerities for me. It doesn't work like that. You got to do your own austerity. So Prabhupada, so anyway, getting back to Jesus Christ, he was on the cross to show us what self-surrender to God is and how we should follow in his footsteps. And Prabhupada is doing the same thing. Example is there. It's not just like, oh, it's an interesting pastime, Prabhupada, give me your mercy. But we should have these realizations. I guess, of course, devotees, they do have loving exchanges. It's not that there's no love within the Krishna conscious movement. But in Prabhupada's situation, he's showing you what material love is like. And he goes on, in this Maya Samsara, whom do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. And many of us who are getting older think about that. Like I sometimes think about my father. You know, where is he gone? You know, what is that relationship? Of course, because I'm doing devotional service, there's a benefit. Prabhupada continues, like the froth and the seawater mixes again in the sea. Maya's samsara's play is like that. Typical example also, the Vedanta samsara juice is like pieces of seaweed that float together, and sometimes they float apart, and they go to opposite ends of the ocean. No one is mother or father or personal relative. Just like the sea foam, they remain but a short time. Just as the froth on the seawater, the froth is like the stuff, and the seawater starts, I think it's being agitated, mixes again in the sea. The body made of five elements meets with destruction. How many bodies was the embodied soul taking this way? His relatives are all simply related to this temporal body. So it's not everyone your relative, brother, on the spiritual platform. So here Prabhupada is basically changing the focus right now, that from the bodily attachment, which is called skin disease, he's changing it to the spiritual understanding as stated in the seeing everyone as one's relative. This is the transformation of consciousness. So we go through this too. We say, well, this material world is temporary. I mean, who loves us? And then we think, well, actually, everyone is our relative. We shouldn't hate anyone. We should love everyone. But is not everyone your relative, brother, on the spiritual platform? This relationship is not tinged with the smell of Maya. The Supreme Lord is the soul of everyone. In relationship to him, everyone in the universe is the same. All are your relatives, brother. All the billions of jivas, when seen in relationship to Krishna, they are all in harmony. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva desires for sense gratification. And as a result, he is firmly grasped by Maya. As a result of past activities, he takes on different types of bodies. Absorbed in that dress, he remains forgetful of Sri Hari. Therefore, Maya gives him so many kinds of misery. And although he bobs up and down in his ocean of misery, he still thinks that he's happy. Lying on a bed, suffering greatly, having been sick a long time, he says, "I'm very well," and laughs. I get a laugh out of his feeling very well. This is the way the soul conditioned by Maya, feels well. So Prabhupada's laugh is not that he's laughing at someone who's suffering. Try to understand that. He's laughing at just like how we feel that someone thinks when the body stops giving misery, that's happiness. In fact, that's the nature of material happiness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used the example of the dunking stool, how they used to punish criminals. They would lower them into the water until they practically drowned. And then when they were at the point of drowning, they were brought up. This is Chaitanya's example, Lord Chaitanya's example. And when they were brought up and were able to breathe, they thought, "Oh, this is nice. Ooh, so nice. Now you're breathing, you're not feeling ecstasy. But the pain will make you feel ecstasy when you breathe." It's interesting. And it's like that. Any of the sensory attachments we have, any of the pushings of the senses, pushing means pain. Let's say the tongue, pushing it. It's a painful situation to be hungry, isn't it? And so then when you eat, you satisfy the hunger. But if you're not hungry, eating is not blissful. So there needs to be pain. So Prabhupada is making this point. This is ridiculous, this material happiness. And spiritual happiness, of course, is different. Spiritual happiness is positive. It's not, you're not required to suffer to experience spiritual happiness. It's like my own life. One time I said to my mother, "Become a devotee, and you can be always happy." She said, "That's not natural." Because she was thinking materially. She said, "You have to be miserable sometime and happy other times." I said, "That's true in the material world. But I can be always happy." And she said, "You're crazy." But we can always be happy. Kevala Nandakanda is only happiness. Vaja Vaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitya. So how many plans they have to remain well, Prabhupada is saying. But time and time again, nature destroys them. Daiva, Yesha, Gunamayi. That's from the Gita, of course. This nature of mind, the spirit, this material nature, this mind nature, Gunamayi. That is the Supreme Lord's Maya. Try to understand exactly the meaning of their feeling well. No one is well in the whole world, but still they are saying it. In this way, Maya cheats the conditioned soul. But ignorant of being deceived, he remains absorbed in Maya. And although Maya kicks him, he will not give up his mistaken conception. Another example Prabhupada gave was the donkey, or the ass that he kicked. He goes to his wife. She kicks him and he thinks this is love. That's Prabhupada. Again and again making plans, and again and again. So this poem is written. The first part is actually in the mood of, intense renunciation. Try to understand this. So, obviously, those who are sannyas can relate more to this than the grahasthas can. But, of course, if you have a nice Krishna conscious family, you don't have to give that up. You're not advocating, like sannyasis did in the beginning days of the movement, that everybody run away from their family. So everyone should stay. Like Prabhupada, if his wife was an actual Krishna conscious according to his desire, Prabhupada would have stayed and they could have preached all over the world as a couple. So that's the preferable stage of renunciation. The Kshetra Sannyas, where the couple stays together and serves as deities. So we're not advocating extreme renunciation. But here Prabhupada is in that mood. So again and again making plans, and again they are destroyed. Sometimes he falls on the dry earth and sometimes in the mud. In this way, the universe is filled with wandering jiva souls, who finally, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, get bhakti, the eternal wealth. Gaining that wealth, if they can give up all other so-called wealth, then very easily he crosses the ocean, over the ocean of samsara. There on the other side is unparalleled spiritual variety, where he enjoys eternal happiness and peace. And then, Prabhupada starts to attack the personalists, the Mayavadis. The mad say that there everything is formless. without special features, like a kind of nothing. Krishna is actually the storehouse of the spiritual taste, raso by saha. The intelligent knowers of rasa serve him by becoming his subordinate. Shanta, dasha, sakya, vatsalya are all those tastes, and the best of them, madhurya, is the essence of them all. In the spiritual world, all these tastes are relishable, whereas the material tastes are just shadow reflections and are all contemptible. One who worships Krishna is clever, whereas one who worships Maya is a pauper. That means a very poor person. Becoming a pauper, one engages in temporary pastimes without knowledge of the true relationships of things. He simply becomes bound up in Maya's knot. Arjuna and Duryodhana both fought the same war, but Arjuna was the greatest devotee, and Duryodhana died. On the same battlefield, both the dear and the detestable, one who's intelligent will be able to understand. One who fights the war of life, knowing his true relationship, will remain alive while all others perish. One who does not know his relationship and takes up some other path will never attain love of God, and his whole life is useless. First, understand properly your relationship with Krishna, and then, keeping that relationship, go and fight with Maya. Other than this, all the heroes of jnana and karma, that means liberation and material attainment, never attained liberation. They were all uncertain. In name only, they were great and sober and unaffected men. None of them were truly peaceful. Desiring liberation, sense gratification, or mystic powers, all had uncontrolled senses. The uncontrolled senses don't answer to the potency of yoga. How many yogis and munis there were, and always the senses remained independent. Without service of the master of senses, there could be no sense control. All of them returned to material activities after a short term of peace. By the process of yoga, no one ever attained sense control. This is explained extensively in the Vedas and Puranas. And then he cites an example to prove that point, and that typical example is the example of Visvamitra Muni. Visvamitra Muni sat on the yogic asana, but he desired the pure beauty, Shakuntala. It was Menaka, he gave birth to Shakuntala. In this way, the yogis fall down. What to speak of all the jnanis? And the karmis are just all asses, suffering in all respects. To one to whom Krishna is merciful and gives his instruction becomes equally as fortunate as Arjuna. But one who fights for his own happiness's sake, he, like Duryodhana, dies along with his family. One who always fights, and you see here, now Prabhupada is showing this mood to fight for Krishna. And if you see, when Prabhupada took sannyas, and see the picture, Prabhupada is standing there with his dunda. It looks like he's standing with a gun. You're ready to fight, isn't it? I mean, Prabhupada's just like, let me at him. And it's, you can see that this is the mood. And Prabhupada at the end also said, let me die in the battlefield. And he had Srila Gurudev, Tamal Krishnamars, bring him to London, even though he was basically, just bones at that time. His body was just bones. He had him carry him to London, because Prabhupada said it's better to die like a soldier, better to die on the battlefield. And that was Prabhupada's move, not to simply retire to Vrindavan. Of course, at the very end, Krishna arranged that Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, surrounded by his loving devotees. But Prabhupada's mood was to always be out there in the battlefield and to be like a kshatriya, a Krishna conscious kshatriya. And that was the mood Prabhupada taught us too. One who fights on behalf of Krishna, wealth, power, knowledge are all within his grasp. Understanding properly the Gita's message, you will attain Krishna's service and will worship Sri Hari. The devotees are endowed with all qualities. So what are non-violence or freedom from anger to them? Sri Hari teaches the living entities by means of his devotees. One such helper is Partha. So you see that that part of course is Arjuna, that Arjuna was one of the Prabhupada's role models. Prabhupada had several role models. One was his spiritual master, who was known, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was known as Nrisinga Guru. Why? Because he would approach the impersonalists, Mayavadis, and grasp them by the neck, basically, and say, why are you preaching this nonsense? And they were afraid of him. And he said, if you think everything is one, why don't you wear a ball of cotton instead of a shirt? So this fighting, and many, Prabhupada said, many of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples criticized him for that. But his mood was so strong. I mean, there's this story that was told by Prabhupada that once upon a time, two devotees went on a preaching engagement, and there was a brahmachari and a sannyasi. And the sannyasi, he was just being politically correct, everything's all right. And the brahmachari called Ramakrishna, you know, some bad names. Vivekananda, some bad names. And there was a riot, they almost killed them both. So they both ran back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the sannyasi complained about the brahmachari. He said, this brahmachari almost caused a riot. He made fun of Vivekananda and Ramakrishna. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur turned to the brahmachari and said, you've done a good job. So, I mean, of course, we have to use some discretion. It's not going to go out and create problems. But Prabhupada's mood, and Prabhupada was a perfect gentleman in dealing with people. But Prabhupada's mood was like fighting. And 24 hours a day, he was engaged in this preaching mission. Do you have to go now? The radio program. So you're fighting for Krishna on the radio. Explain about Prabhupada when you want to hear. Okay. Arjuna acted just like a conditioned soul. Like one bewildered was the Pandava brother. Violence to his relatives and then enjoyment of the kingdom. Could this be happiness? Arjuna displayed lamentation. This, though, was all Dehatma Buddhahi. That means thinking the body is the self. Or he told us the body is the self. Identification with the body. One who is a Kshatriya gives up such family affection on the battlefield. Krishna, seeing his illusion, chastises him. Therefore, Arjuna accepted the position of disciple. Prabhupada is actually relating this to his own situation. Becoming a disciple, he listened to the Bhagavad Gita. All his ignorance dissipated, as well as his material bondage. His material bondage was cut, but he was not dressed as a sannyasi. The householders understand the Gita's meaning this way. The perfection of mantras, karishye vachadam tava, I will do as you tell me. Therefore, the war that he fought brought him an increase of fame. And so now Prabhupada is quoting, let's say, the Nirjana Bhajana people simply who want to stay in Vrindavan and just chant and not do any practical service. So here Prabhupada says, Vaishnavas have no desire, they just chant japa on their beads. That's not what Prabhupada wants. He is stating that because that's what people say. And then Prabhupada makes the statement, so what kind of Vaishnava is this Arjuna in the middle of samsara? The Vaishnava, then Prabhupada again is quoting, he starts quoting those who say you should just simply chant and not do any practical service. Then he quotes them again. The Vaishnava is freed from duality, simply chants japa on his beads. And then Prabhupada replies to that. So say those who are eating the mind's bananas. This is what got me in trouble in Vrindavan when I quoted this particular verse. Because I said, oh, there's people like that here. You don't want to think. Okay. Goodbye. So say those who are eating the mind's bananas. I mean, the word banana means crazy. I don't know if you use that here in Fiji like that. If you see someone's bananas, that means they're crazy. So that means they're eating, they're just like in illusion. The Vaishnava, and then the Prabhupada states more. The Vaishnava is without desire and amicable by nature, which is friendly. But he is not a forceless weakling as foolish people think. In the two great Indian wars, two great personalities were leaders amongst the Vaishnavas and became victorious. That's, of course, the Ramayana story and the Mahabharata story. They did not fight out of a desire for satisfaction of their own senses, or their own senses, and so are famed throughout the world as Vaishnavas. Those who do not see the real Vaishnavas say that a Vaishnava is inactive. But a Vaishnava is always active in the service of the Lord. The lifeless Kanishtha Adhikaris don't perform any service. For profit, adoration, and prestige, they stay in their lonely place. Your Prabhupada is really criticizing people he sees in Vrindavan at this particular point. And not everybody, but Prabhupada is getting very heavy here, and he continues throughout the rest of the poem. Nityananda Prabhu, who is worshipable by the Vaishnavas, suffered blows from Jagai Mata. But he still distributed love of God in every way that he could. Gaurahari came out with a chakra in his hand and set things straight, after which the Vaishnava haters were subdued. The Lord himself sets the example in order to teach the jivas. So one who performs nirjana bhajan simply cheats himself. The world has now become full of jagais and madais. The Nityananda Vamsa, those are people who say they're descendants of Lord Nityananda, or descendants of gurus of Lord Nityananda's life, has increased its following of disciples. But eating, sleeping, wearing the dress, and remaining so unconcerned, it is not proper for the Vaishnavas to remain so uncompassionate. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur sang in his Madhurya Kadambani, "Look at his conclusion and see what is his judgment." In other words, people shouldn't just like float around going from one prasadam to another. Isn't it? We have people, even here in Fiji, who are on the banquet circuit. You know what the banquet circuit is? No. Banquet means like big meal, and they go from house to house. Madhukari. Except they are not simply taking one chapati, one roti, they're taking 10 rotis and so many other things in each house. It's our business to serve the mission. Just like we were talking the other day about how we need devotees to do deity worship and service at the temple. Everybody should be thinking, this is Prabhupada's mission. Not just simply eating. Prabhupada said, and Prabhupada's very heavy about this here. Devotional service is causeless and self-manifesting. It is an eternally perfect substance, but has become covered over. The Majjhima Adhikari Vaishnava, that's the middle platform, being compassionate, gives mercy to the innocent souls by awakening devotion in them. The Supreme Lord acts according to the will of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, the bewildered can be awakened. The Vaishnavas can awaken all the sleeping world. By their mercy, the sinful can all become devotees. So you see, Prabhupada is actually laying out his mission now. Starting to lay out his mission. Therefore, they do not perform nirjana bhajan. That is the world-deceiving process of the Kanishtha Adhikari. In other words, you have to serve the mission, otherwise you're Kanishtha Adhikari. All the great and famous Vaishnavas were in an assembly when a foreign priest came to meet with them. He asked some questions about Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, but even that company of Vaishnavas was not able to explain the truth to him. Because they were just like all engaged in chanting and then have much realization. That was the point Prabhupada was making. The Kanishtha Adhikaris do not really understand the scriptures, but in the guise of doing solitary bhajan, they're only thinking of their next meal. Now we should also think, does this apply to us too? You know, in the guise, because we're not doing nirjana bhajan, but in the guise of doing whatever we're doing, are we just filling up the time between meals? I mean, is that our whole life? Or are we actually helping push forward Prabhupada's mission? Our spiritual master, of course, he's referring to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said these are all Kanishthas. Now I can understand the truth of what he said. One well-versed in the scripture who has strong faith is an Uttama Adhikari and he can deliver the whole world. He is the deliverer of the most fallen and is famous throughout the world. Now save this fallen one and thus become really famed. In Kali Yuga, the jivas are all fallen, and the lowest of mankind seeing this, they do not see the different activities. The Supreme Lord, Gaurasundara, is the most magnanimous, and his instructions are full of nectar, all full of nectar. One who has taken his birth in the land of Bharata should engage in welfare activities according to his instructions. The Supreme Lord's Leela was to relish mellows in solitude. In other words, in the final years of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya was in solitude, basically just surrounded by Ramananda Roy, Sitamiti, Sitamiti's sister, like this is Rupa Damodar Goswami. But Prabhupada said, it is not the play of Vaishnavas. We should not imitate these activities. This transcendental service cannot be tasted by the non-Vaishnava in the material body. One cannot relish this transcendental nectar. Actually, we're almost finished. One who has the material concept that the body is itself cannot relish spiritual mellows. But those who have conceptions of the Vaishnavas in terms of birth, etc., are very bold when it comes to relishing the leelas of the Lord. In other words, the Goswami caste, Nityananda Vamsa caste, all the caste Goswamis. The Prabhupada says, like the clerk in the post office, one caste Goswami, in other words, the clerk in the post office, the postal peon, that's how Prabhupada expressed it. He's a caste Goswami. The Babaji's all pay their obeisances to him a lot. The Gosai Thakur has false pride in his birth, which Nityananda Prabhu cut into pieces. You see this in India today. You know, the people have a lot of pride in their caste, a lot of pride in their birth. And I see all these things going on in Vrindavan. In other words, Prabhupada's arrived in Vrindavan. He says, this is Vrindavan? This is going on in Vrindavan, the most holy place? Because Prabhupada has started to live in Vrindavan at this point. And he's shocked to see this. Therefore, I can understand there is some work to be done here. The Prakriti Sahajas all commit adultery. Taking someone else's wife, they go to relish transcendental leela. In other words, they think, well, I want to understand the Madhurya, Ras, so let me find a paramour. Let me find an illicit connection. Crazy. This is not Vrindavan as always think like this, my dear mind. Remember the lotus feet of the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis came and preached religious life. They saved the process of devotional service on the order of Lord Chaitanya. They are all the Lord's eternal associates, and always remembered Radha and Krishna. Remembering them, all the conditioned soul's sins are cleared away. But if he tries to imitate them by taking on the dress, that's probably referring to the Babaji dress here and characteristics, he becomes the playthings of Maya and does not cross over the material ocean. Always preach from Jiva's door to door. Your life will be successful as a result of your preaching. Shri Doitaya Das, that's Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, gave this instruction. Chant Hare Krishna loudly. This is my initiation. Kirtan is not just drums and cartels. The sound of kirtan is not this modern system. And Prabhupada here is now talking about what we call Yukta Vairagya, engaging everything in Krishna service. Anything favorable for devotional service is all Madhava. And the only enjoyer of the three worlds is Yadava. Maya's pride and joy, the radio sound, and of course at that time there wasn't television, destroy them all by forceful kirtan. Maya is all these newspapers. Preach that throughout the whole world. What a verse, though. And the final verse is, sitting alone in your room shouting, you may increase your bile secretion. You know, bile, of course, comes from the liver through the gallbladder. So, just, you know, you think you're becoming Krishna conscious, but actually, just increasing your bile secretion, you're going to be able to eat more prasadam, as you're talking about. But it's so holy. I mean, this is why they stopped me from reading this. But in 10 million births, Sri Hari won't be pleased. Sri Hari is no one's father's property. Come out of your cage. Stop making objections. Everything belongs to Sri Hari, and Sri Hari belongs to everyone. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra loudly. By the performance of such time for your time, there will come remembrance automatically, then Nirvana Bhakti will be spontaneously manifest in your heart. That Prabhupada is indicating here that our method of self-realization, of realizing one's eternal relationship with Krishna, is preached. And then Krishna reveals, And we have my niece, Audrey, who think that our method of socialization is just think about who you are in the spiritual world, you know, invent it in your mind, and then just find out from someone what your Akadosh Bhava, what your 11-fold aspects of your personality and your spiritual world, just meditate on that. That is not our process. Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Isn't it? Kali Kalera Dhamma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vidana He, Kali Pravartan, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, or Krishna Kaviraj Goswami says, that in this day and age, the method of self-realization is Krishna Nam Sankirtan, preaching, deity worship, working in the temple, and in this way, being empowered to do this, the whole world can be changed. Tadbhag, Visargo, Jadataga, Vipurbo. That is our mission, that is Prabhupada's mission, to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of this entire civilization. So I think we've gone on long enough. So anyone have any questions? This poem, if anyone's interested in this poem, just email me, I can email you a copy of it. It's the whole poem is not available in the Prabhupada Lilamrita mentioned, but it's not available. And it's been a source of inspiration for me for many, many years. So I thought today would be appropriate. Now that we're commemorating Prabhupada's 50th, let's see, preaching in the Western world, to remember Srila Prabhupada's movement when he first renounced everything and went to Vrindavan and prayed to the six Goswamis. And actually the stories about Prabhupada actually communicating with some of the six Goswamis, like Jiva Goswami, and getting his mission. When Prabhupada later on moved into the Radha Damodar temple, Prabhupada actually getting his mission from Shiva Goswami to go to the Western world and to save us. So, any questions or comments? To the end then? And the next program begins at what time? 11 o'clock, and there's only going to be us. Three Mars will be with us, and all of the ones will get a chance, especially the Prabhupada disciples, to share some of their reminiscences of Srila Prabhupada's past lives, particularly, you know, I'm interested in hearing about Prabhupada's coming here to Fiji, and how Vasudeva got so inspired to open up the first Radha Krishna temple just after getting one instruction from Prabhupada. This is very much reminiscent of when Prabhupada got his first instruction from the spiritual master, the preacher of the Western world. So Vasudeva got that instruction from Prabhupada, just meeting Prabhupada in the transit lounge, right, at the airport, start a temple, and then he took that as his life and soul. And you're here because Vasudeva Prabhu took Prabhupada's instruction as his life and soul. That's why everyone is here in this room today. So that's the secret of spiritual life. And Prabhupada is teaching us that, and Vasudeva Prabhu, by his example, is also teaching us that. And of course, Bhagavati and Durani, too, they were all there at that particular time. And Bhuvan Mohan, his brother, too. And so that's what we should learn. Okay? And that happy note, you can all take prasadam now. Okay. Don't eat the mines bananas. Eat the regular bananas. What's that? Okay. At 10:30 is a video of Prabhupada's visit to Fiji, and after that we're going to be speaking some memories about Shiva. All the devotees will get a chance to speak memories about Prabhupada. And that's 11 o'clock Abhishek, 11:45 memories, 1 o'clock party, and after that. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.